Thank you for listening to this podcast from International Living Radio. For 30 years, International Living has been showing people how they can live happier, healthier lives in some of the most beautiful places on earth for a fraction of what they pay at home. InternationalLiving.com, your source for living the good life for less overseas.
On the highway between Merida, capital of Mexico's Yucatan state, and Cancun on Mexico's Caribbean coast, there's a turnoff to a small town called Izamal. The town is known as the Yellow City for its brightly painted Spanish colonial facades, but Izamal was a cultural and religious center long before the Spanish even knew the New World existed. On Izamal's main square, a magnificent church and convent stands perched on the base of a Mayan pyramid. And just a few blocks from this square is a charming and secluded bed and breakfast run by Alfred Rordam and his wife, Emily Navarre. They're U.S. expats who are running a successful business in one of the Yucatan's most interesting areas. And today I'll be talking to Alfred about his business and his life as a working expat in Mexico on this edition of International Living's Finding Your Overseas Paradise. Alfred, welcome to the podcast. It's good to have you here.
Thanks, Dan. Glad to be here.
We're here in Merida, Mexico, which is the largest urban population next to you, where you run Macanche Bed and Breakfast in the Yellow City of Izamal. Tell us a little bit about Izamal and Macanche.
Sure, Dan. Izamal was a very important Mayan city, and it remains an important pilgrimage site today. During Mayan times, this was the city of Itzamna. And everywhere from around the Mayan world, people would come to venerate the god there. And it was also a place of miracles. Well, after the conquistadors came, they built a massive Franciscan convent there. And to this day, and installed the Virgin of Izamal. And to this day, people still come for healings and to experience the and venerate the Virgin there. It's also become, it's really one of the best preserved colonial towns in the Yucatan. Absolutely beautiful. As Dan mentioned, everything's painted a gorgeous egg yolk yellow. And as a matter of fact, they've just restored all of the facades in town. So we're looking clean, snappy, and nice right now.
It's a beautiful place. And do I remember correctly that the atrium of the convent is the largest outdoor atrium besides the Vatican in the Catholic world?
That's right. And when you get there, it's absolutely astounding. The convent itself was built on top of an old Mayan pyramid, a Mayan temple known as Popolchak. And the area is massive. It was a little bit later around the 1800s when they enclosed the courtyard. Earlier, it was used as the open chapel for the Mayan ceremonies for the conversion of the Mayan population.
And you run Macanche Bed and Breakfast out there, which is a beautiful little place to stay. Susan and I have been out there several times. How did you get involved in Macanche and in the bed and breakfast business in Izamal in the first place?
Well, it's an interesting story. We were both involved in yoga, and we were interested in developing a yoga retreat center. We had been coming to Mexico for some time, and we found the prices in the retreat centers we were using going up and up and up, and we thought, well, there's a market here. So when we started looking around the Yucatan, and we initially looked at the haciendas, which this is kind of the Goldilocks story, we rapidly found that they were just too big. And at that point in time, we started looking in Mérida, and we found that Mérida was just too small, too crowded, too much of a city life. Not to say that we don't love Mérida, because of course that's where we come to enjoy city life. In our travels, we stumbled across Izamal, and to quote Goldilocks again, Izamal was just right. It's a small town, very friendly, warmest people you'll ever meet in your life, and an up-and-coming tourist town. So we really saw an opportunity there to grow. We were lucky to buy an existing business. Macanche was a hotel and had been started many years ago by a woman who remains in the area. She's a very good friend of ours, Diane Boyle. And the place just dripped of possibility. So we saw this and we said, wow, this is just a great opportunity. Here we can walk into a place. We don't have to develop something. We don't have to put a big investment in. The day that we open, we were already open, the day that we take over, we've already got an income. So Makanche was a very, very desirable investment to us.
And I know that you are also excited about it because you get to practice a craft that is close to your heart. You're a qualified chef, and I can say from experience that some of the meals you turn out there are extraordinary. Do you find it a challenge to create the kinds of meals that I know that you can, that I've seen you produce out there in the middle of a little Mayan village, or is that a challenge for you at all?
Well, it's been a lot of fun, actually. I've had the wonderful opportunity to work with two lovely women. We have two women on our staff. When we started the restaurant, one of the ladies was one of our cleaning ladies, and I knew that she could cook very well and that she knew many Mayan recipes, and I was interested in the Mayan cuisine. Now, I have to give the disclaimer first off that I'm vegetarian, which meant that Yucatecan cuisine was pretty challenging for me because it's very meat-based. However, you know, in that I saw a lot of techniques and a lot of very, interesting and creative approaches to spices and stuff. And luckily, in working with these two women, I have been able to learn what they do, and also then to bring a certain sensibility that I've had as a cook to that, to create what we think is really a unique product and one that actually, you know, gives the best side of Yucatecan cooking at the same time. We're in a small town. We have to offer a wide range of dishes, which is, again, an exciting thing for me because I've always been interested in international cuisines. As a kid, I would go to the library and I would go, oh, there's the Thai cookbook, and I'd want to teach, cook Thai, and oh, look, I can learn how to cook French cooking. And so the chance to kind of do a fusion and to blend together the sensibilities that we have with the local cuisine has really been an incredible experience.
And I should mention that when you say we, you mean you and your wife, Emily Navarre, who is not here tonight because she's out at book club with my wife, Susan Haskins, just one of the many cultural things that these guys take advantage of, and something that you pretty regularly do, come into Merida to shop, to see cultural events, to keep yourselves entertained. Alfred, how did you get offshore in the first place? What was the driving impulse for you to move away from where you were in the first place and try something offshore?
Well, as I mentioned in the beginning, we were looking to do a yoga retreat center, and we were at home. We had a friend from New Zealand who actually contacted us and said, I think I have this opportunity in New Zealand. And at that point, it kind of opened our eyes. We said, we could really go to another country, which we found very exciting, a chance to broaden our cultural experience. Needless to say, that didn't work out. But Emily, as you mentioned, is her parentage is Mexican-American. And so Mexico all of a sudden became a very attractive option for us. And when we got down to visit the Yucatan, I mean, it was pretty much a done deal. We saw a way of life and an opportunity, and really it was interesting in the fact that what we set out to do, we made many 180 degree turns, but every one of those led us exactly to what we're doing today, and we're thrilled with that.
That's great. Biggest challenge, Alfred, in setting up Makanche and doing business here in a culture that you probably weren't that familiar with when you hit the ground and tried to start this business, what were some of the biggest things you had to deal with and overcome when you got here to do that?
First and foremost was the language. Emily, of course, had grown up hearing a lot of Spanish, but she didn't really speak Spanish so well. Before we moved, we took two quarters of Spanish, which we found when we got here was woefully inadequate. And here we were. It was September 22nd, 2005. We took over Makanche, and we had five people who worked for us who spoke Spanish or Mayan. Mayan was pretty much out of the question in those days. So how do we communicate? How do we say, could you please go clean the rooms? Or geez, we really need to fix the pump here. It's gone bad. So the language was the first challenge. Being in a small town, we've been very lucky. The regulations are a little looser. But it's about personal relationships. So again, it came down to the language. We had to go talk to the mayor. We had the restaurant going. I mean, the hotel going, and we wanted to open the restaurant. And we went to the Palacio, the government building, to ask the mayor, was that okay? What did we need to do? And you know, of course, at that time, we kind of sound like restaurant won't make, and. Somehow, you know, this lovely man understood that, and he said, well, yeah, you can do that. You know, just serve your guests, and everything is fine, and it's all very low-key and very organized. So, again, it was the language. It was how do we communicate with that? And actually, at that time, we'd been here about 4 months, so our staff had pretty well trained us in basic grunt, and we were able to get that through.
So I'd ask you what your biggest piece of advice for expats is who are thinking about moving offshore and starting a business. I have a feeling that language would be your number one suggestion. Anything else that an expat who wants to move abroad and try a business like this, maybe a bed and breakfast, a hotel or a restaurant, your number one piece of advice aside from learning the language, what would it be?
Well, I really think it's don't stop yourself. That's the big one. When we decided to make this leap, we just jumped and we didn't look back. I've watched a lot of people. East Timor is now kind of becoming an area of interest. We have a lot of people coming in. They're looking for land, but you watch the process as people come in. And I think it's great. You need to cross the T's and dot the I's and do your due diligence by all means. But there is a difference between knowing what's going on and saying to yourself, I can't do this. And that's I think, the biggest thing that stops people from coming down here. They come down. I have tons of guests that come in and they say, boy, you're living a great life. This is fantastic. We really just want to be like this. And well, how did you do it? I mean, it must have taken so much guts. And I'm like, if I'd stopped to think about it, I might not have done it. And I'm not saying don't think about it. But, you know, if you're feeling the move to do it, you know, let that fire underneath you fire you up. Let it light you up and let it help you find your dreams. Because I can tell you, as someone that's done it, that it's as easy as just go for it.
Cool. And it's kind of like when you got to Izumal in the first place. You got a gut feeling about it. You knew it was right when you saw it. And it just felt right to do it, and you went for it. You didn't get in your own way. Alfred, thank you very much for being here. It's great talking to you.
Thanks, Dan. My pleasure.
Makan Shay, you can look up on the internet. It's www.macanche.com. It's easy to find. If you have any questions for Alfred or Emily, I'm sure they'd be happy to talk to you via email. Look up the website. It's well worth it.
Sign up for International Living's free daily postcards at internationalliving.com/radio and get a free report on the world's top retirement havens. These free daily postcards will give you more information on living the good life for less overseas. Thanks for listening to International Living Radio. You can hear more episodes of Finding Your Overseas Paradise at internationalliving.com/radio.